Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, we've been on this one part, a big part of this year, you know, about the tutoring of the Father. This has been the year, again, of learning about our Father. And He really is the Father of our spirit. He's not the Father of your flesh. Adam is the father of the flesh. And everything that belonged to the first man, Adam, is going to be consumed. Everything. You can read about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Even the heavens. It took a while for it to dawn on me. If you read the account in Genesis, the stars were created after the earth. That's interesting, isn't it? And it says they were given for signs and seasons and times, you know. So even the stars, part of the heavens, everything that was created for the first man, Adam, is going to disappear. It's going to be, Peter uses the word dissolve, which is literally to make not there anymore. It's like almost de-atomized. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth for the last man, Adam, and his bride. Hello, Eve. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Me too. During this, the rest of this dispensation, we're spirit-born children clothed in mortal flesh. Not the kind that we originally had, but the kind that we received after the fall. And have you noticed it has the motions of sin in it? Has anyone else noticed that? If you let it, it'll just sin so easy. Well, what's coming this next year, if I'm hearing him correctly, and I believe I am, is we'll probably continue to learn about his fathership, all right, but now we're going to enter into allowing the discipline, or we could say enduring the chastening. Let's just read it real quick here in Hebrews 12. But now tonight we're going to go on a little further. We're going to give you a little foretaste, things to come. So Hebrews 12, we'll just start in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And in context, it's hard to even read that without remembering, he just finished chapter 11, telling about the race that was set before Noah, and the race that was set before Abraham, and the race that was set before Moses. All of these people had a word from God, or you know, words, commandments from God, and they all ran their race, and now it's our time. But we do live in a different dispensation than all of them, and even though we can learn some things from them, none of them are our pattern. There's only one prototype for new creatures, and that's the firstborn from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's why he says here, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, but the way we have to do it is looking unto Jesus. He is the only one. He's the prototype. A man with the very life of God in his spirit, yet still clothed with mortal flesh, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And he said to us, he said to his followers, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Now don't tell me he's not the prototype. We're to look unto him. Live like him, think like him, talk like him, walk like him, have the same results he had. Been anointed with the same Holy Ghost. Well, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, it's not always going to be easy. And the season that we're coming into this next year is not so much at this point persecution from outside. That will come as the revival comes more. This persecution for this next season is really going to be from your flesh. It's going to be when I say flesh, I don't mean just the physical appetites. It's strongholds. I'm going to say it this way. Strongholds that you consider you. Things that I think are Gary, but they're really not Gary. They might be the Gary strongholds carried over from before. But what God calls Gary is not what Gary calls Gary a lot of times. Does that make sense to you? Is that okay? It's not going to always be easy. Now, this verse here, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And normally what I think of there is Jesus in the garden. He was the first one, prototype, agonizing, striving. So heinous was his assignment to actually become sin when he hated iniquity and loved righteousness, and to actually be in broken fellowship with the Father. It was so heinous to him that he actually sweat great drops of blood. But really, another way you can look at this, if you look at the context here, he's also talking about you have not yet, if you're reading this letter, you have not yet been martyred for your faith. Going on to the next verse. Verse 5. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That word faint means quit. In the context, remember the temptation for these Hebrew believers, raised under the law. Someone preached the gospel to them. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they're not trusting in the law anymore. They're trusting in Christ as their Savior, and great pressure is being put on them. In the previous chapters, it says, you know, their goods were being wasted, and they were being made fun of, and history tells us that they couldn't get the better jobs. The parents would disown them, take away their inheritance. You know, we know who Moses is. We don't know who this Jesus is, and so pressure was on them to go back. So he says, don't faint now. Don't quit. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Now, verse 7, this is our year coming up. If you endure chastening. Now, here at the prayer center, we use different words. If you don't stop praying, it's your next stronghold. See? Praying, fasting, doing everything, the message. Because just like Dave said in the second service today, you're not going to say, well, what I'm going to do is ignore that thing that the Lord's dealing with me about. See, the idea is he'll shine the light. You start praying in other tongues, what happens? Well, here comes the Holy Ghost. He is light. He starts shining in the darkness. You know, any rooms that we have that we still, I'll call them Gary rooms. There's Gary rooms that I love Jesus. Y'all know I love Jesus. But I'll tell you, there's things that I love that's not really very Jesus-like. What are they? That is none of you. It's none of your business. I'm not asking you about your stuff, am I? But there's stuff, you know, and part of me still loves it, obviously, and part of me doesn't want it to be bothered with. And see, really, you'd kind of like to keep that and make heaven anyway, and enter with a full, and you probably can, but it's a loss of reward, you know. We could go to Corinthians there, but it can get real serious. Now we're going to go a little further than we've been in Hebrews here, and you're going to see how serious it can get if you don't let him deal with stuff. But anyway, what Dave was saying today, he says, the tendency is you'll pray and pray and you'll come up to the next thing, something God wants you to deal with. All right, maybe it's your diet. Maybe it's forgiving somebody. Maybe you got a stronghold. He just, you know, a friend of mine that we always make fun of him, you know, when it comes giving time. You know, he has to get his wallet out. It hasn't been opened in so long. It's rusted shut. Get some oil. You know, you have to get to, you know, God may be dealing with you about some stronghold like that, you know, and he said, well, start just giving a dime. I'm not going to give a dime, you know. It could be anything, is what I'm saying. It could be anything. And you come up to it and you see it finally. Now you've got two choices. See, we tend to think, I'll ignore that for a while, and when I'll be able to continue, and I'll circumvent that one somehow. I'll go around that, and I'll pick up on the other side, and I'll continue to pray. No. Now, don't ask me how I know this. No. You can stop praying for a week, a month. That's not going any further than that. I don't care how long you quit. You start up again. I mean, you won't be 5 minutes. You start praying, boom, you're right back up at that same place. Man, but he doesn't ever forget. He doesn't forget. You're right. You're going to. So what Dave was saying is so true. You're either going to endure the chastening. You're either going to let him shine the light. You're going to let him start dealing with you about how to get rid of this thing. Or you're going to stop doing the message. And if you stop doing the message, then you've got a real possibility of becoming like an Esau. We're going to look at Esau. We hardly ever have talked about him, but he's mentioned in this chapter, and there's a real reason why. There's a real reason why, and you can take it so far that nobody in the sound of my voice is going to take it that far. But let's keep going. I got to hurry now. Well, I don't have to hurry too much. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Everyone say, he loves me. He chastens me. He scourges me. Now remember that word chasten, the primary meaning of it is to tutor. You see, what he doing this message is really allowing the whole... See, in most churches, you never get this opportunity. I'll just tell you, in most places, I've been in enough of them to know, you're going to sit under a general teacher and you're going to hear a lot of don'ts and do's. And be nice and give your tithe and go to heaven. And that's about it. You know, be nice, straighten up, quit it. But no, none of the churches I ever went to before ever taught me, ever introduced me or told me there was some way where the Holy Spirit, God, don't say the God, the Holy Spirit, God himself would take me as his personal one-on-one student, sit me in a chair, and begin tutoring me like I'm the only person in the universe to deliver me from everything that's not Christ-like. Excuse me, I got to go pray in tongues. That's enough right there. That's enough right there. Dear Lord, we have been given a real chance through this message to endure this kind of chastening where the Holy Spirit himself will tutor you one-on-one. He knows Fred. He knows everything about Fred, his education, his experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you'll allow me. But he could take Fred right where Fred is. No matter, I mean, as ugly as Fred is, think about it. No. The horror. No. Picking on him because he is so gentle. But no matter where he is, and Fred will allow him, the Holy Ghost, move him right smack in the center of God's will, boy. Finish his course with joy. Hallelujah. See? Well, if you endure the chastening, I endured some of them, Brother Gary. Yeah, I've endured some. I forgave so-and-so. Good. In my case, I quit smoking. Fine. Everyone say, thank God. Thank God. I thought it was going to take forever, but I finally did years ago. Thank God. That was a hard one for me. I thought surely if I ever got past that one, that would be it. Found out there's more difficult things than that. What are they? Again, none ya business. Deeper and older than those, found out strongholds. Had them longer than that one. Lord have mercy. And the tendency is to quit because it's not easy. See, and I can't linger here on too long on any of these. Let's go on for a few verses. If you endure chastening, well, God will deal with you as with sons. And boy, don't ever let the devil tell you otherwise. See, when you start seeing those things, they're ugly. There's something ugly, and you go, God, am I like that? Does anyone else know I'm like that? And the rest of us go, yeah, we all know you're like that, you know. And that doesn't help either, you know, when you find that. Everybody's known, yeah, we've all known. Now, not always. They don't always know everything, but a lot of times they do. And you know, the devil will jump on that with both feet. Say, see, you ugly, slimy thing, God don't even love you anymore. And the truth of the matter is, you finally have allowed God to deal with you as a son. You've allowed him to do that, you know, to excavate and dig down and shine the light in these dark places. And finally, there's something that now can be dealt with. And all of heaven's going, yeah. And the devil's going, no, 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 we got to stop him right here. We got to condemn them, make them think they're so bad that he'll never do anything with them again. And a lot of people fall for that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It said if you'll endure the chastening, God will deal with you as a son. He's happy that you finally arrived at this ugly place where he can, you know, we can deal with it now. So he'll deal with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, get it straight, get over yourself. How many are partakers of the chastisement? All are partakers. There's no free passes. Nobody's born again perfect. Everybody has their stuff. Got it? All are partakers. But if you're not willing, if you be without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons, because it's just no such thing as that. There's no such, I'm perfect, I'm fine just the way I am. We're praying for you. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. Now who? Fathers of what? Now get it straight. I love the way Alan said it. He said it in a really good way. God is not the father of your flesh. See, that person that cries out, for years I've identified with that guy every time I try and fast. Ow! I thought you loved me, God. I'm in agony without my hamburgers and my french fries. Oh, I'm in agony, God. I haven't eaten since it's been an hour. Mine cries out really quick. It's been an hour, God. Don't you love me, God? In all these years, I thought he did. But that's the part of me he doesn't. Now I'm seeing that guy as the unruly child in Proverbs, and spare not for his much crying. Spare not for his much crying, see. If you ever want to have a really good Bible study, go through Proverbs, and everything God says about a child, apply it to your unrenewed soul. Or you could say the flesh. That's a good study right there. Bring that rascal into subjection. Anyway, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, everything God does, as you pray and fast and come to these different things, everything he shows you, everything that comes up, everything that looks so hideous, that is for your profit. It's for your good. He's not showing it to make you feel bad. He's showing it to you to change it. Because he just won't do it without you, you know. But he for our profit, why? That we might be partakers of his holiness. Now see, we went through Ephesians, did we not, for a year? That new man that's on the inside of you, doesn't it say it is created, I like to say, from the get-go in righteousness and true holiness? Yeah. That spirit man on the inside of you is, but there's a soul inside of you that's just got all kinds of slop in it. Unholy stuff that's got to be dealt with. And all our partakers, get over yourself. That may be the title. Get over yourself. Everybody is on this path. Everybody has things to be dealt with. Okay. But the end result of this chastening is that we might be partakers of his holiness, not just in our spirit, but also in our soul. It's as your soul is renewed, you know. How do you not be conformed to this world? Be renewed in your mind by the renewing of the mind. Ephesians says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As your mind begins to think like Christ, then these strongholds have to go. He's not going to put up with that stuff. Now, here we are, verse 11. Welcome to the new year. Look at it in your Bible. This is your year. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. How many wants to come back after this year? I'll come back in 2012. I'm going to skip this year. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Oh, I felt better before I started doing that prayer and fasting. Well, of course you did. Chastening doesn't seem pleasant, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Now, that's talking about your walk. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. That's really the subject that we're headed to here with Esau. But rather, let it be healed. How do you let it be healed? This very process we just talked about. The tutoring, doing the message. By the way, God will never show you one of those ugly things until you're at the place where you can deal with it. If you see it, it's your servant. If you choose to make it your servant, you can drive it out of your camp. Otherwise, he would not have shown it to you. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently. Now, that word diligently is really important. Looking diligently. Now, because you know why? Boy, your enemy. He is El Diablo. Drip, drip, drip. That rascal, you got to give him one thing. He is a persistent thing. And, you know, you better be on guard. You better be diligent. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, before I even talk about that verse, let's let the Bible talk about it. Because the next few verses, talking about Esau is really explaining that verse. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Let's stop right there. Something that pleased his flesh. Here's the thing about Esau. He was the firstborn. By right, he was the heir. By birth, the way it does in a Jewish family. He's really a type of Adam, first Adam. His name means red or earthy. But he was the firstborn, and by all rights, the inheritance belonged to him. But he loved his flesh more than he regarded his inheritance. So when Jacob, his younger brother, came and offered him something, he sold for a momentary enjoyment in the flesh. He gave up his birthright. He gave up his inheritance. What is the message to the Hebrews? Okay, we know you're suffering in the flesh. We know persecution is coming on you. You have been born of the King, and you have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Do not fail of the grace of God through this persecution. And just to relieve the persecution and make your short life in the flesh a little easier, don't give up your inheritance in Christ to go back under the law. Is that good stuff or what? But see, now here's what happens to you too, though, because what happens, it's also talking about sin here. It's because he's talking about partaking of God's holiness. So it's a dual meaning. Not only is he exhorting them to stay with the cross rather than go back under the law, he's talking about things that pertain to partaking of God's holiness. So it's progressively walking more holy all the time. And that's to do with the rest of it here. He says, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. But see, he was a fornicator and a profane person. Did you all know that he purposely married a Canaanite woman? Because he knew it would make his mom and dad really unhappy. Yeah, he did it on purpose. He became so bitter. It's very much like the ones that Jude, hold your place, it was in Hebrews. Look at Jude just for a moment. See what happens? If we don't let God deal with these things in the flesh, what will happen? Eventually, you start justifying them. Then eventually, you start turning on everybody else who is not doing the same things you are. Before long, you're out there saying, hey, it's okay. But you might be, since Dave uses Carlton all the time, Carlton was trained by the best. He was trained by Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, and others who trained that man. But because of a certain offense regarding a family member of his that he just couldn't get over that, he's wound up in the most goofy doctrine that I've ever heard in my life. And it's against Christ. It's against the true message. It's against the gospel. And a lot of people are going to wind up in hell because of it. And that's one of the best examples we have in our generation of what he's talking about here. But look, he says, Jude, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. You know anybody in the Christian church that's doing things for money and saying things that are not God so that they can get money? Do you recognize any of that in the church today? Perished in the gainsaying of Korah. That should be a K, but Korah, they're the ones, hey, we're just, you know, Moses, who are you? We can do anything. You know, we're just as... They had no respect for the leadership of the church, no respect for authority at all. Well, you know what happened to them? They perished in an earthquake. You know, the earth swallowed them up. These guys are in that same vein, and it said, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they are feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, they are clouds without water. In other words, they look good. You know, they look good. They look like clouds, but there's no rain. Things are not going to change with these guys. There's no blessing. They're trees whose fruit withers without fruit. And notice, twice dead. How in the world can you be twice dead? Unless you were first dead, then alive, then dead again. That's what these guys are. These are people who at one time walked in the things of God. They got so far out there, they have turned so far away from Christ, they are twice dead. Tells you in a little while here, they have not the Spirit. Got to be careful, see. This is the same kind of thing, the warning here. See, to the Hebrew Christians, he's telling them, do not turn away from Christ. Do not, just to get this persecution off of your flesh, just to make it easier on you, do not go back to the law of Moses, because when you do that, you're going to forsake your inheritance and you'll wind up bitter. You'll turn, so many people that leave the prayer center, they don't just leave, they leave nice, maybe a lot, most of them do, they leave nice. A year later, you'll find them preaching all kinds of things against Dave, against the message, against tongues. They get bitter. You got to be careful. Now back to Hebrews here. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, for you, verse 17, because we've got another part he wants to get to tonight. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? You know what that's really talking about? What did he say up here? Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. I know people that have left church and really backslid bad and really bad and for years, and still yet they come back and God takes them back. What's he talking about here? Failing of the grace of God. I'll tell you one thing, you better not wind up dead. That what's the type and shadow? One day this age of grace is going to come to an end. It's like the ark. Well, Noah kept preaching righteousness. Get on the boat, get on the boat, get on the boat. One day God shut the door. It doesn't say Noah shut the door. It says God shut that door. Boy, when the rain started to fall and the water started to rise, can you imagine the pounding of the people on the sides of that boat? But it was too late. And you better not reject Christ during the age of grace, because there is no other Savior. There are no atheists in hell. Everyone in hell is a believer, but it is too late. I told you there's still some Baptist in me. Smell the sulfur? Hallelujah. Now, let's incorporate three things. This passage here in Hebrews, but now also go over to Ephesians just for a moment. We're in Ephesians for a year. Because how we're going to do this, see, really another way of saying this whole process, yeah, you have to endure the chastening. Yes, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Yes, we're going to be doing that. But what's really going on there is that Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So it's talking, now it's not a little Jesus coming in to set up shop with a little kitchenette. I liked how Alan said that too. I thought he had a little kitchenette and a dining room. No, it's his nature. Like you once had the spirit or the nature of Adam in you. Now you've got the nature of Christ in you. And through this process, through this chastening, tutoring, strengthening process, I love how it says it here. He is strengthening you with might in your inner man. He's talking about strengthening your new nature, maturing your new nature through this tutoring process that you activate through praying in other tongues and fasting and doing the word. And as you're going to come to things you're going to have to deal with. And did you know you can pray? Did you know the Bible says to the humble, he gives more grace? Did you know? To the humble, he gives more grace. If you ask him, he will strengthen you. He will give you more. And maybe you failed 10,000. If he has to, he'll show you a vision like I described to you this morning. You can have your own close encounter of the third kind. Like I had that encounter with the Lord, which I won't describe again tonight. It takes too long. Well, whatever it takes. If he has to, in a vision, if he has to walk in the room and shake you, if he has to send an angel like he did to Norval's daughter. But he will strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. But now, why all of that? Now, Galatians, we're going to finish up here in Galatians 5. Because this is the war. And it's not going to end. Now, I say not going to end. The flesh has been positionally declared dead. As far as God's concerned, it has no power over you at all. It's dead. I've noticed mine is resisting that. Okay? I've noticed. Now, what this is talking about, if you remember again the picture of Alan with Mike Banks standing right behind him. Here we go. I mean, Alan was the spirit man and Mike was the flesh. We don't have the nature of sin anymore, but we do have to deal with the flesh. And the flesh, his mind is not going to be changed. See, look, it tells you right here about the fruit of the flesh, or verse 16, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and that should be a little S. Let's say it this way, walk by the power of your new nature. Now, the Holy Spirit does also help us against our infirmities. So you could say it that way, I guess, without being too... But walk in the strength of Christ in you, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it does not say the lust of the flesh will die. See, this is the war. And it's going to be going on. Now, you can get to the place, you can get to the place where your foot is on the neck of that flesh pretty good. The thing about the flesh, it's very much like a horse. I hate to tell you that. It can be trained. The flesh can be trained. See, I thought, again, I'm going to go, the obvious one for me is cigarettes, because I thought I'd never, ever, 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 ever be free. Now it's been so long. Stressful things come. I've had terrible stressful things in the last year or two, like you have. I mean, just things, you know. And we'll go through it and come out on the other side, and maybe a week later, you know, 2 weeks later, I go, huh? Not once during all that stress did I ever even think of having a cigarette. My flesh has been trained. See, and Hebrews talks about that even your senses can be exercised through practice to know good and evil. Well, that doesn't mean that sometime I might go through something else and all of a sudden, oh, God, give me a cigarette. But hopefully by now I'm going to say no. Now, what I'm trying to say, though, is, yeah, you can train the flesh, but I don't think you can ever retrain its mind. Let me show you what I mean by that. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And this isn't just your body, again. This is all kinds of strongholds, anything in the soul, any emotional things that have not yet been renewed to be like Christ. It lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, and again, that should be little s, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. It was a long time before it finally got... See, let's just list a few. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Okay. Now the thing of it is, the flesh is always going to think those are good things to do. It's always, let's go get a drink. It's been a rough day. We earned it. You know, or let's go get drunk, actually. A drink really is not sick, but just, you know, get drunk. I hate that guy, you know. I don't get mad, I get even. Flesh. You know. The flesh is always going to be the flesh. Now, you can get to the point you've got your foot on its neck pretty good, but I don't think you can really change its mind. Now, you can retrain it. I found out you can retrain it where it doesn't bother you like it used to in certain areas. But I bet you if I could still consult with the flesh, you might think smoking's a good thing to do. I don't know. But see, the thing of it is, I don't have to worry about retraining its mind. We've got a soul that's renewed. See, if this is the flesh over here, total flesh, yeah, I believe in hatred, murders, envying, idolatry, that's flesh over here, you know. Then we got the mind of Christ, who hates iniquity, loves righteousness, love your enemy, do good to those that hate you. And so we got that mind over here and this mind over here. Well, you're somewhere, the real you, your soul, is somewhere in there, see? And then even some days. Church, Sunday, I think like God, I love God, I love people. By Thursday, been beat up so much, kill them all, let God sort them out, you know? Flesh again. But the point is, that war is not going to end as long as we're still wearing the flesh. So what we have to do is be strengthened with might. Let God do the tutoring. Be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. It says Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And he says, walk like me. That is possible. God himself, it says God's purpose is that every believer be conformed to the image of the firstborn. It's possible to do it. What we have to do is quit letting the devil beat our brains out while we're in the war. See, you're struggling and battling your flesh, and maybe you made it 3 days without a cigarette and snuck off somewhere. And I'm not looking at anybody. For 3 days without a cigarette and then snuck off and had one. Or like that lady, I was going to fast for 3 years, and I fasted for 3 hours. You know, whatever it is, I'm trying to be silly, but whatever it is, and the devil goes, aha, God hates you now. And the truth of the matter is, you're finally battling that monster, and you think God's against you for that. You finally come out with your, you know, if we had to, I saw Chronicles of Narnia, that new, you know. Yeah, the new one, Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, you know. And here we go. Boy's real clear. Good. Evil. Boy, here you come out on your horse with your sword to do battle, you know. And from God, that's what you're doing when you finally say, I'm going to endure the chastening. Come on, God, let's go against this flesh and put our foot on its neck. And he's going, yeah. And maybe the flesh lops off one of your ear like Peter did. And then you got to be healed. And I messed up a little bit. I messed up. He says, get up, warrior. Let's go again. Rather than let the devil condemn you, let's charge into battle again. I'm looking forward to this year, sort of. I'm looking forward to the change that's going to come. Amen. Hallelujah.